Howdy do, buckaroos, or should I say basketball jaunt? I mean, sorry. Guess where my head is at this evening?
Oh boy.
Hi everybody. It's going to be that kind of show, but on the upside, it's going to be really short. Hello and welcome to the after show. I am your introductory host this evening, Kelly Gamont, and with me tonight, as always, is my partner in crime, Mike Rose.
Good evening, Kelly.
And all day today, you're lucky you've caught me in a coherent spot because all day today I have felt like Benny, the astronaut in the Lego movie.
Hmm.
Because instead of going around going, spaceship, spaceship, I've been going around all day going, ball game, ball game,
ball game,
well, ball game.
And this is why we are stapling this short show to our longer show. We're stapling a monkey to a cougar. because... our previous show, which was yet unreleased due to editing issues, is also largely
Mike has issues and isn't editing. That's the issue.
Okay, let's talk about the things we decided to not say out loud.
let me write that down in the book of things I'm not supposed to say. Hold on.
Mike has issues and isn't editing. I like that. I'm putting that on my door. That's a bumper sticker.
It's a show title is what it is. Now you need a pen.
because that show is unreleased. But that at that time, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were also talking about the Blazers of Trail of the left top corner of the country.
Yes.
And they continue their journey.
They continue this ridiculous, what are you kidding me, season. Because that's really what it is. I know I explained it all in like excruciating detail last time. So all I'm going to say is this. Everybody said we had no chance against the Clippers. And then and that's fine. The Clippers were one of many teams who who fell in what can only be described as a round one red wedding of NBA playoffs because players were dropping left, right, and center. And I wish I could remember who said that on Twitter. But somebody said that the NBA playoffs have turned into the red wedding because there were just injured players left and right. And in fact, in the last game of the first round when we were playing against the Clips, Austin Rivers, it was completely accidental. They reviewed it like a bunch. He accidentally collided with the elbow of a trailblazer, and by he I mean his face, and by his face I mean his eye, and he ended up with 11 stitches above and below his eye. And like, they didn't, I don't think they meant to, but they like had, they had a camera on him on the floor and he like picked his face up off the floor. It was covered in blood. If you've ever had any sort of injury above your eye, you know how badly the forehead will bleed. I'm actually an expert on that, which might explain a lot about Kelly, but that's a story for another day. So he was bleeding everywhere. They took him in the locker room, literally stitched him up, and he came back out and played some more. Jeez, and the Blazers won, but it was crazy. And like, I have a lot, and there's a couple clips I got some things to say about, but I have to have a lot of respect for Austin Rivers for coming out like that. And not only that, but like coming out and continuing to play. And we did win, but there are some of them that I have a lot more respect for than I did when the series started, and he's one of them. So it was very surprising. We did win, and another one of those red wedding casualties in the first round was Steph Curry, who is going to, and the Warriors being without him is going to make that series interesting because we have to play at least four games. And the Warriors won the first one, but I also think a good portion of that was the Blazers won that game on Friday night and then had to play Sunday afternoon. So they basically didn't get any break. And there's been a couple of days now since then, and hopefully we've shaken off some jitters and we can get off some better shots. And so I'm excited to see what's going to happen. And
And Curry could conceivably be back before the end of the series.
Yeah, he's not back tonight, but yeah, there's a good chance that he could be back before this round is over. There's also a good chance they may just keep him out of this round.
If they go up 2-0, 2-0 or 3-1, they might. But what's interesting,
they just continue to rest.
What's interesting is that Klay Thompson. So this is the stat in the 10 quarters. So uh-huh. 2.5 games since Stephen Curry went down with the knee injury. Yep. Klay Thompson, who's the other half of the Splash Brothers,
yes,
has shot 5.583, so 58% from the uh-huh. field in general, and 60% from 3-point range.
Yep,
breaking a record. Because he's the first player in NBA history to record at least 7 3-pointers in 3 consecutive playoff games, and he also broke Steph's record for the most threes made in three consecutive postseason games, which is insane. That's crazy.
So I would like to point out that, not to draw any sort of comparison between Steph Curry and myself, but when you guys hear me talk about how last summer I hurt my knee, it's a very similar injury to what he has. He has sprained his MCL, which is the inside knee muscle. You hear a lot of people talk about having their ACL
They're
worked on.
Their ACL, yeah.
The M is the inside one. There's the anterior and then the M word one that I can't remember what the M stands for. But that's the one that I had a cruciate.
Yeah.
So I had a full thickness tear of that particular of the MCL. But luckily I tore it in the right place from side to side, and the way the tear tore, I didn't have to have surgery. And with a sprain, you don't have to have surgery. So if you've been looking at things and thinking that there's just a lot of sports writers out there with typos, that's not true. MCL is a different one. And let me just tell you, if it hurts anything like mine hurt when I first heard it, dang, I feel very bad for him, because that's a lot of pain. And it really sucks. So, anyway, I would also point out two things that are interesting to me about the Blazers. So when everybody talks about oh, that's cute that you think that they stand a chance. The Warriors lost only 9 games this season.
Yeah.
And one of those was to us.
So, hey, you know.
So, it has been done.
Hope springs eternal. It has been done.
And... I would also point out that everybody said, 96% of teams who are down, who are down 0-2 in a playoff series, 96% of those teams are done. You know, if you haven't won any and the other team wins two of them, 96% of the time you're done. And we didn't.
Nope.
We came back and won 4 in a row.
Fought back.
And so, yeah.
Hung tough.
So I know that people, I know that I'm an optimist, and I know that I'm sort of stubbornly optimistic about a lot of things. But in this case, I feel like I have a little bit of fact to lean on when I say things like it's happened before, because it has.
It has.
So
there's no doubt about it.
I just want to point that out. Yeah.
It is. We are living in a fact-based environment in this regard. Yes. I want to, and we only have a few minutes till the game starts. Just want to point out.
I wanted to just say that, because all of this is the happy part and the good thing.
Yes.
There's
another happy part on my side before we get to the other part.
Yes.
Hear it. Which is today, those of you who know my children, which is I think zero of you except for Kelly, but those of you who know my children know that they have been agitating on the digital device front. And in fact, I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
So the elder, the 15-year-old, who we shall refer to as Lulu, it has been the possessor of a hand-me-down iPhone 4 for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
And the little one, who shall be referred to as Sasha in this case. These are not their real names. Not a bad name, mind you, but it's not their name. The little one, who's 11, has had a flip phone. And boy, has she been freaking cranky about that for a long time. Oh, my God.
I'm just imagining Keynote in the hands of an 11-year-old pleading the case for a different phone.
Allow me to point out the total addressable market of my love for you. We've just moved to a new house. We now have an excuse for them to modernize their devices, which is that we have a smart lock that requires Bluetooth LE, which neither of these phones supported. So last night we presented them with refurb, but perfectly serviceable iPhone 5S's, which were just activated tonight. So everybody is in a very happy.
That's amazing.
A very happy place. And actually, I mean, well, except for Heidi, because she had to wait for me. She had to wait for me for 20 minutes at the AT&T store, and then it took like 45 minutes to activate the phones because these are on her account. And so even if you are, safety, important tip, folks, even if you are an authorized user on someone else's AT&T account, which is something that they can set up on the website. That means you can make changes to their plans. You can make changes to data. You can do quite a few things. The one thing you cannot do, and this, by the way, you can't do it online or in person, is you can't add a line of service. And that's one of the things we were doing tonight, is we were adding a line of service.
It's basically, you can do basically everything but that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they have a lovely little chart of here are your privileges and permissions. And I didn't feel like going in and impersonating her. So we got that done.
That's exciting to me because I think the 5S is a fantastic phone.
Yeah. Well, it's so tiny. It's so tiny. It's so weird to like hold it, and the 6 Plus and the 5S together are like the Vern Troyer and Yao Ming MacBook ad, PowerBook ad, where you understand that they represent the same species, but they feel they are just fundamentally different things. Anyway.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so it's exciting.
I picked one up. I have a friend who was looking at them because he was asking me about the new phone and what it was like. And so we went to an Apple store and I was able to pick one up and hold on to it. And I was like, oh, I remember you. You were fantastic. Like, I had no complaints about my 5S. If I had known that the SE was coming, that's the phone I would have bought. I would not have bought a 6S. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because I miss it. So that's what we've got on that front is I remember that. And I'm curious what sort of lock, what the brand is on the lock that you got.
It is a Kwikset Kivo.
Oh, okay.
Which was the recommendation of the fine folks over at thewirecutter.com.
Very nice.
And a number of, and also Dave Zatz of Zatz Not Funny. Basically, everybody whose opinion I respected regarding regarding home automation said this is the one to get. Now, I will say it's a little quirky. We're still getting used to it, but so far so good. We'll take that up on another show because I know you have a game starting soon, and we have to take a few minutes to talk about what's going on in your community and specifically in the App Camp for Girls world, where you guys had a big loss this week.
We did. Michelle Petruzzi, who was basically, like, I used to tell people she runs App Camp, and I used to say it sort of like I was kidding, but I sort of wasn't kidding. Michelle was the person who got in touch with all the parents. Like, once we had all the applications in from people who had applied to send their kids to App Camp, Michelle was the one once there had been a selection process. Michelle was the one who sent out all of the acceptance forms, and Michelle was the one who kept track of who had sent everything in and who had made a payment and who had sent in registration and who had sent in release forms. And Michelle was the one who arranged the field trip, because we always take a field trip to a software company. And let me tell you, it's really exciting to get to take kids on a field trip because we have a lot of cool offices here in town. And it's one of my secret subversive goals of App Camp to warp the girls forever against working in a plain gray cubicle. And when you take girls to Panic and show them that this is what a software company looks like, hopefully you're planting that seed forever. And that makes me happy. Anyway, so Michelle was the person who did like all of the paperwork end of it. She did a lot of the coordinating of things. She was a huge help in by bringing her knowledge to other cities. So every time we expanded, she had all of the knowledge of like, this is how we did it to start with until we found out there was this other way, or you can do that, but there's going to be this hurdle and here's how you get around it, or here's the right way to word the thing that we're talking about. And it was, and she was wonderful. And she started feeling kind of not so hot around Christmas time. And she had been diagnosed, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in January. Mm-hmm. And they had started chemo and it wasn't working. And then they ended up going to Seattle and getting a second opinion. And the second opinion was sort of hopeful. And then she ended up in the emergency room and had to have a breathing tube. And this last Friday, she passed. Mm. And she was amazing. And she was super no-nonsense, but she was like the kindest person. And we talked about when I hurt my knee, and she used to be a physical therapist. And so she offered, and like the first thing she did when she found out I hurt my knee was I can show you some things that you can do that might help it feel better. And she let me sit for like an hour and ask her question after question, because I didn't know anything about like how knees worked, or should I worry if it hurts, or what if it's doing this, or, you know, is it really okay if I ice it, and what kind of stuff should I take because my knee is like the size of my car right now. And, you know, and she was really able to help me take a lot of the fear and a lot of the unknown out of that. So I had a lot less worry, and she showed me some things I can do to sort of make my knee feel better. And I didn't spend as long in physical therapy. And I think that's a direct result of her. And that's just one of like 1,000 things she did for me. She was so kind and warm and hilarious. And she was so great. And I can't believe she's gone. And so she was wonderful, and you can read about her, and you can read about her husband, who her husband Justin is a developer for a company called Mapbox. And Michelle passed and wants some of the things that she was really passionate about, like I said, App Camp, which mm-hmm. she really enjoyed. And she also she was also passionate about an organization here in town called Project Pooch, which takes they take dogs, like untrainable dogs, and rehab them. And the dog that they had was from this facility, Project Pooch, mm-hmm. And Ronnie is a wonderful dog. And so some of what they said was for was in order to, you know, like, if you want to do something in Michelle's memory, you can donate to App Camp, and you can donate to Project Pooch, and you can also volunteer time, like volunteer an hour of time, and let places and let some place know. In particular, the Oregon Zoo here in Portland, the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., because Michelle lived on the East Coast for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Just go spend an hour and volunteer somewhere and see if it's a thing that you can do. Because you never know how spending that hour with people could affect things or make somebody's life better. And to me, that's one of the things that I really like about App Camp. One of our former campers went on to join the computer club at her high school and is putting on a camp for high school kids to learn more about cybersecurity. She's doing like digital security conf for high school kids, and she was, you know, a former app camper. And so I feel like, you know, I've spent time, and I do a lot of work, and I try to help App Camp in any way that I can. And so it's really nice for me to see some of these kids go out into the world and do something great. And I feel like, you know, there's only more of that to come. So you never know, you know, how that time is going to affect somebody or what you could do to make an impression on someone and really help them out. And so if you get a chance, I would say particularly if you have any sort of organization for rescue animals or something in your area and you want to spend an hour, you should help them out. That's a really, it's really awesome to be able to do that. And, you know, it's an hour. Yeah. Like in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be a huge commitment for you. So absolutely check it out. And you never know, it might be something that you end up wanting to do more.
Absolutely. And if Project Pooch is not in your neck of the woods, there's always your local rescue or shelter, ASPCA, or here in New York, the Sean Casey Animal Rescue. And all of them would appreciate your time and your contributions. So you know, never having met Michelle, but only knowing her through the App Camp family and and the extended App Camp network of tentacles. It's a terrific loss for you guys. And our thoughts are with you, everybody, all both listeners' thoughts are with you. and with Gene and with everybody at App Camp. And hopefully some of the stuff that you do within your organization will also be a way to honor her memory as well.
Yeah. And that was one of the things is I've picked up some of that stuff. So this year, sending out all the forms to the parents and everything fell to me. And so, you know, I was excited to get to help out in a new way, but I was also sad for the reason I was helping out. So, it's there's a lot of like happy and sad all mixed together. And, you know, to speak of that, that last game from the Trailblazers, the thing that I was talking about a lot during the last episode and how excited I was, just like a few hours before game six started was when we found out that Michelle had passed away. So it was a very weird day to try to be happy. And then because I was still so sad and have like all of that kind of at the same time was really hard. And Michelle's service is Friday, and it's while we're recording, it's Tuesday the 3rd. This is the eve of Star Wars Day, which is one of my favorite terrible puns of all time. And I will probably use it more tomorrow than necessary just because it pleases me. And I probably and I could use all the cheering up I can get right now. So since you did mention both our listeners, I will now mention them by name because I told them that we would. Hi, Chris Fuller. and hi, Info Driveway, who was very excited because he was actually in town not too long ago. And I was like, yeah, you actually haven't seen my house yet. So like, come over, we'll hang out. And then he went, oh my God, is that where you keep saying hi to me? And I'm like, yes. He was very excited. So he said, you guys can always tell when I'm listening to the show because I always say hi to you back on Twitter. And I'm like, yep. So hi, Jonathan. I will also say hi, Javi, on the off chance that you have convinced him to listen to our podcast on the regular.
Well, you should
not just when we say glorious things about him.
You should check out his podcast, Children of Tendu, yes, which is with Jose Molina and is a great short course in the art and craft of screenwriting. Definitely check it out. The podcast of the week for me is You Are Not So Smart, which I am listening to now, talking about Bayesian statistics. It's fascinating. And do you have a podcast of the week you want to share quickly?
I do. It's called You Must Remember This. And it's like an old, I'm trying to think like what the best way would be to describe it. It's like old Hollywood sorts of stories. Mm-hmm. And it's like classic Hollywood film folks and stuff like that. And it's a really interesting, particularly if you're a person who really enjoys film, like this points back to where a lot of that stuff started, like whatever it is that you're into, like it all, you know, it all started somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so this is sort of the podcast that super digs into all those stories. So there's some really interesting stuff that you can find in there. And I have a friend who told me that he simultaneously loved me and hated me for recommending this to him because all he wanted to do was listen to it until there weren't any more episodes. And then when there weren't any more episodes, he was mad about that too.
He was pretty upset. Well, yeah. This is just a weird podcasting synchronicity thing, but one of the hosts of the Flophouse is opening a bar in my neighborhood. So I don't even know what that means to anybody's life, but it's interesting to me that this is happening. So I am both going to have to start listening to the show again and start drinking again, which could be challenging. All right. Thank you guys for bearing with us during this evening and our reminiscences. And we're going to let Kelly get to the game, which is on pause. They've just done the player introduction, so I think she'll be fine.
Okay. But this does sort of harken back to our early episodes where all we could talk about Because we did like four episodes right at the start, where like all we could talk, all we could do was talk about whoever it was that had just passed away.
Yes, it was just all we could do.
It was a weird hot streak, and I'm gonna go back to again somebody on Twitter who said something that I thought was very funny right after Prince passed away, which was, "Who let George R.R. Martin write 2016?
Seriously, like that guy should not have been allowed to get his hands on the typewriter for this year. It's crazy.
First series.
We miss Prince. If you haven't checked out last podcast recommendation, you haven't checked out Coverville recently.
Oh, cover.
Brian Ibbett did a Prince tribute cover story that is truly epic. It is fantastic. And it includes my favorite, not to everybody's taste, I will admit this, but my favorite cover of that Prince does of another artist's song, which is his cover of Bonnie Raitt, "I Can't Make You Love Me."
Oh, yes.
And it is Princeified. It's not possible to imagine, listening to Bonnie Raitt's version of that song, how it could be really funky and dirty. But Prince makes it that. It's really, it's just something amazing to behold.
And I will tell you, I saw a cover where Chris Stapleton did "Nothing Compares to You." And it is unbelievable. Like, it's not the same song. Like, you wouldn't know. And it's really, really good. So if you get a chance, I would say check that out. And check out, why am I blanking?
The show?
The guy in Pink Floyd, David Gilmour.
Yes.
David Gilmour did a really nice tribute to Prince that you can find on YouTube that's very cool that you should check out. As well. So those are the two I'm going to recommend. And then I'm going to run away and watch the ball game.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. This has been The After Show. You can find Kelly on the Twitters at Verso. You can find me at Mike T. Rose. And you can find the show at aftershowpodcast.com or the_aftershow. We will chat with you again soon.